Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you so much for holding on. If I can find and eat a text from one of our great listeners, supporters, I'm going to read that. But meanwhile, listen, let me give you what happened. Sam Dixon is supposed to be coming on this segment here, this hour, but he's going to be slightly delayed. Hopefully slightly. We'll call him in another 4, 5, 6 minutes. Paul Fromm has graciously agreed to come on. And before he does, I'm going to read this this right here. We're talking about, this is kind of an aside, Paul. I'm so glad that Paul Fromm's brother Paul decided to stay over with us and help us out. I've been getting these text messages from our man down on the, he's on the Texas border with the government. I'm not going to say which government. He sent me this text this morning about 10:30. He says, "Hello, Eddie. I've never seen more evidence of white genocide than I've seen in this last week. As I drive around this town, I literally see no white people." Keep in mind, people, this is in Texas, supposed to be a white state. Our genocide here, at least, has been achieved. Eddie, you're nearly alone, and that you've identified the culprit, their intent, and their solution. Give him the bayonet, no quarter. This is a fella, he's from another state. He's not from Texas, Paul. He's with a governmental, you might say, law enforcement thing. It could be government. I'm not going to say it could be a law enforcement. It could be sheriff's deputy. It could be National Guard. He's from it because we can't let people know, the people, certain people know who he is. But he's down there. He's been down there a month, and it's not good. One funny thing he said last week, he said one of the most exciting things he said, Paul, was this cat. This literally happened. This cat was being chased by a dog, a stray dog, and the cat jumped up into a Humvee with some National Guard soldiers to get away from that dog. So, and he says, you know, our motto on Blood River is no quarter. That's on our flag that I designed. We have the black flag with the red Christian cross coming out of the Blood River, and it says no quarter. Give them, and our motto also is give them the black flag. So he said, this guy said he guessed that dog was going to give that, not going to give that cat any quarter. And I said, yeah, he's going to give him the black flag. But that's kind of funny. But the sad part is, it's like that, Paul. This man is on the border. He's trustworthy, and he said this entire city he's in, he said he hasn't seen one white person. So I just thought I'd throw that out there before you talk about that. And when we bring Paul in, when we bring Sam in, excuse me, y'all, I'm kind of wound up today about getting these names mixed up. I'll get them mixed straight eventually. But Miss Monica talked about this bill C-36 and also the bill C-63. And Paul wants to say a few other things about that. And I have some commentary about that from an article I saw. If I get time, I might bring that in because it supports it. It ties right in with what Paul's talking about. But go ahead, Brother Paul, and let me thank you again for staying on.
Yes. Well, one of the measures under Bill C-63 is that in a complaint to the Human Rights Commission, if the judge is convinced that the complainant might be subject to harassment or intimidation or danger, then the complainant can be anonymous. Well, there goes another one of the pillars of Anglo-Saxon justice, the right to be able to confront your accuser.
Yes.
Mr. X or Madam X or whatever. No, your accuser. And I feel if somebody is so mean-spirited that they want to ruin my life, by a complaint to the Human Rights Commission, then they should at least have the courage to be able to stand up there in court and be questioned and so on. They should be courageous enough to show their face. But of course, that's not what this is all about. This would be just anonymous bushwhacking. And we live in such a snowflake society that I don't think the bar for anonymity would be that high, because
great. Well, Paul, I think that's excellent. It's getting scarier by the day. Guess what? We have my friend, your friend, my brother, my intellectual, learned brother, one of the original. He's one of the board members, the original board members of the League of the South. Y'all know who I'm talking about, Mr. Sam Dixon. I heard you had a little traffic jam there, Sam, but it's better getting you in here late, better than ever, brother.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to hear your voice. I'm glad to chat. Is Paul still on, or is he left?
Yes, he's on. He hung over because I told him you had been hung up in a traffic jam. He said he knew you.
I've known Paul since 1968.
Damn.
I've known him now 56 years.
God. Well,
I consider you one of my closest and most valued friends. He's one of the oldest names in my address book. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Sam. Sorry you were enduring Toronto-style traffic. We live in permanent gridlock because of mass immigration.
Well, it was a series of things, but I'm not too late, and Eddie was nice enough to figure out how to resolve it all, and so it's all done. I was going to say about what you were saying about the snowflakes, Paul. The flip side of all this anti-hate speech is that the system and the schools and the news media engage in anti-white hate speech 24/7.
Yeah. Yes.
You just took the textbooks and the statements of politicians and the journalists and the people on National Public Radio and New York Times and took out the word white and put in Jew or black. They would immediately condemn this as hate speech. So the snowflakeism is only on one side. For us, we're supposed to never notice that we are under attack constantly. And they'll say things like, minority youth, black kids need role models, that children need role models. And they give them these role models, many of them fabricated, but they give them, and then with white children, they destroy and demolish all the role models and tell them their ancestors were all criminals and they deserve miserable lives. So you really get a glimpse of what's going on, what the real essence of the purpose of this program is, and the kind of people we're dealing with when you think about that.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yes, just incredibly vicious, constantly denigrating whites, Christians, and white males. It really has an effect, I think, on a lot of people's morale. I'm amazed up here in Canada how afraid people are. In some of my recent speeches, I've used a quotation from John Diefenbaker, who was Prime Minister from 1959 to 63, and he gave us our Bill of Rights, not the current charter, but the bill. And I'm sort of paraphrasing, but I am a Canadian. I am a proud Canadian. I am free. I am free to speak my mind. I am free to support causes that I believe in. I am free to criticize situations where I find there's a problem, and I believe in freedom for others. I am paraphrasing, but I am a free Canadian. I am free to speak my mind. You do not find people like that today.
No.
People are scared out of their wits. And I think a lot of it is cowardice, but not completely without reason. People are scared, and boy, what a change in the country in 60 years. Diefenbaker, fairly fairly represented Canada when we were overwhelmingly European and Anglo-Saxon. That's not Canada today. We're a nation that's no longer believes in freedom of speech.
No, the cowardice and apathy have to be the two most conspicuous traits of modern white people. There has never been a more apathetic and passive people in human history.
Sam, we have to go to a quick break. First break of the third hour, and we'll be right back as soon as we get through this commercial message. Be right back, folks.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit CSPOA.org today. The time to act is now. CSPOA.org.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, I'd like to thank you so much for hanging out. I'd like to thank Sam Dixon, my brother, for coming on tonight. And I'd also like to thank Paul again for hanging over. But, you know, Sam, earlier, Paul was talking about... I don't know if you want to go deeper into this, this C-63, this Canadian law. I was going to ask Sam, Paul, you said that the people in Canada are scared to death. Well, I'll just briefly mention this case here. When you said the people in Canada are scared to death to exercise their right of free speech, there's a couple here in Georgia. I referenced this during the break a minute ago. It was Philip Jacob and his wife. They were arrested for littering. We've covered this a couple of times, I believe, on Blood River. And for the littering charge came from they were handing out leaflets. And I've seen some of the leaflets. I've got some. I hadn't handed them out. And what I've seen, they tell the truth. What these leaflets do, they name the people by name. And get this, I got to say this. I know I'm getting on a rabbit trail. I've had several friends of mine. One is a really good friend, a lifelong friend. He said, you can't just say the Jews cause this and the Jews cause that. He said, you have to give them the name. You can't just stereotype. So I got some of these leaflets and sent them through the internet. And I said, if this enough Jews names for you, this enough names for you. But what the leaflets do, they name the primary movers and shakers in the Biden administration, that was in the Trump's administration. You know, for instance, Department of Health, Education, Welfare, Secretary of State, Secretary of Homeland Security, on and on and on, Secretary of Treasury. They're always just Jew. Well, see, when you hand out one of those pamphlets, it's a hate crime. It'll be a hate crime soon, probably, y'all. I mean, it's called littering. So, I guess this question here, Paul, is what would happen to you in Canada right now, and we can get Sam to respond, if you were to hand out some of those, it's a rhetorical question, I'm sure. If you started handing out some of those leaflets up there, Paul, what do you think? What would you go?
Well,
up there?
Everything is complaint driven. So if somebody complained, if they knew I had done it, it might potentially lead to a charge under our existing hate law, which forbids willfully promoting hatred against a privileged group, which in this case would be Jews. There is a defense, and that's truth, although it's difficult to make that defense. I'm not quite sure how that would shake out, but if we got to the, if the Bill C-63 comes in and we go brings back the Human Rights Commission Section 13, which allows for complaints where you publish material that is likely, and that's a very loaded word, to expose to hatred or contempt one of the privileged groups, almost certainly you could be charged, and if be the subject of a complaint, and almost certainly you would be found guilty, because truth is no defense in human rights cases. I mean, it's absurd, absolutely absurd. Truth is no defense. But I've been through a number of these cases. In fact, in one particular case, I had so much contempt for the proceedings. I was the representative, you know. The poor fellow couldn't afford a lawyer, so I represented the fellow. So the prosecution was calling a witness, and he was being sworn in. Do you swear to tell the truth? And I got out and objected. Well, what's your objection, Mr. Fromm? I said, I object to him being asked to swear to tell the truth, because if truth is no defense, it doesn't matter. Who cares if he lies? Sit down! But at least I was able to demonstrate my contempt for the contemptible proceedings.
Yes, absolutely. That you really threw it back in their face on that, Paul. You certainly did.
Absolutely.
You most certainly did. Well, you know, Sam, how close do you think we are to getting here in the United States to getting in our censorship laws be as strict and tough as they are in Canada, being able to, for people being able to being put in prison for for exercising their free speech on the internet, et cetera, et cetera. Sam, what do you think about that? How close are we to being as bad as Canada?
I don't think we've ever been very far away from that. I think freedom of speech in America is 90% illusion and 10% reality. That's not to say that I don't think we're very fortunate to have the First Amendment, which we would never have if they redid the Constitution today. The majority of people in America would not approve of a First Amendment. Polls have shown that the majority of people don't believe that Jehovah's Witnesses should be allowed to go door to door with pamphlets. They don't believe that Nazis should be allowed to have a meeting, or that racists should be allowed to publish a book. They'll say they believe in freedom of speech, but then when they're asked specifics, they don't like that. But anyway, we do have the First Amendment, and it is of some help, but it has never been the help that people think it is, because of the practicalities of the matter. And I didn't understand that in law school. It wasn't until I actually got dragged into defending white dissidents, which has been a great trial of my life. I have suffered tremendous persecution by judges, by the Bar Association, financially and otherwise, because I handled those cases. But when I was in law school, we'd read these cases in the Supreme Court, and they sounded wonderful. You know, that the Supreme Court would vindicate the rights of the appellant. And one of them involved Jehovah's Witnesses. For the record, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. I come from 500 years of very devout, bigoted Presbyterians. So I'm not a JW. But anyway, there was this situation in which a town in Georgia passed ordinances to try to prevent the Jehovah's Witnesses from going door to door. And Jehovah's Witnesses appealed, and they lost in the municipal court, they lost in the Superior Court, they lost in the Georgia Supreme Court, they lost in the Federal District Court, they lost in the Federal Appeal Court, and some seven courts later, and some 3 or 4 years later, you get this wonderful decision that was in our constitutional law book that, you know, that the Jehovah's Witnesses have rights of freedom of religion under the Second Amendment, and they have First Amendment freedom of speech, and the ordinance is hereby struck down. Well, that sounded wonderful to me as a 23-year-old law student with no experience in day-to-day life. But the fact of the matter is that to take a case like that to the Supreme Court would require somewhere around $1 million. And the average person doesn't have $1 million. And so what happens, I've seen it over and over, I've seen it scores of times. These illegal actions are taken that violate the rights that we theoretically have in the Bill of Rights. And the people have no remedy because they cannot afford to object to it. So they end up being sent to jail for 2 months or paying the $1,000 fine and this kind of thing, because people just can't afford that. And so that's been the reality of freedom of speech in America all the time. The other reality is that suppression of the freedom is not limited to government. This is an unfortunate delusion that Americans have believed in since the War for Independence. And conservatives, more than anybody else, believe in free enterprise and, you know, have the glories of free enterprise. You know, we used to have the term in the South called a company town. You remember that, Eddie?
Yes.
Where you would have one mill that employed everybody, and the family that owned the mill, you dared not criticize them. You dared not say do anything that would upset the owners of the mill in a company town. We now have a company nation. We have people like Zuckerberg and others that are worth billions of dollars. They control social media. They control the news. And we have the Antifa that are a thug organization that is expressly tolerated by the Biden administration. It's always been tolerated, but at least not expressly until we had Biden. And they go around and see that people lose their jobs and are fired and they attack people and they're not prosecuted for the physical attacks on people. So how can we say that we're really very far away from Canada? I've talked a long time and taken a lot of time from you and Paul, but as a practical matter, from where I've lived my life, America is not nearly as free as people think it is.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, the whole time when you were telling about the Jehovah's Witnesses, what they did, I was thinking, my Lord, that I didn't know that many courts existed. I didn't know that the hierarchy, that they had that many courts you had to go through before you got to the Supreme Court. And I was also thinking, how much would that cost? You know, there's also, just by your example alone, Sam, that there's no such thing as equal representation in the eyes of the law. We're not all equal in the eyes of the law, huh, Sam?
No, well, you look at it. I mean, I went to Charlottesville. Fortunately, I went at the last minute when people asked me to go as a lawyer. But I was there. I saw what happened. We were attacked. Organized gangs of violent, masked people attacked us. They sprayed me with some sort of mace or pepper spray as I was trying to walk the meeting, the rally. They beat people up. They were violent. They had a meeting of so-called preachers and priests the night before, and we've gotten a copy of that. They were talking about the violence they were going to be eating.
Okay. Well, Sam, don't lose that thought. We have to go to a quick commercial break, Sam. Please don't leave that thought, because and you're hitting every button I have. Be right back, folks.
You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News. I'm Laura Winters. The White House says President Biden will be visiting the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse next week. The Navy bringing in big cranes on barges to assist workers in lifting the remains of the mangled bridge from the water. Here is Maryland Governor Democrat Wes Moore.
To see a freight that is nearly the size of the Eiffel Tower, and to see that same freight with the key bridge resting on top of it, to see shipping containers that were ripped in half as if they were paper mache.
And there are plans for a memorial plaque to remember the six men killed in the collapse. Here's USA's John Schaefer.
Brauner Builders Executive Vice President Jeffrey Pritzker has sent a letter to Maryland Governor Wes Moore requesting that a memorial plaque with the names of the victims be placed at the entrance of the new bridge once it's built.
To the families, to the spouses, to the children, to see the names up there, see their family, their loved ones memorialized, I think it would be a wonderful thing. And you can never bring anybody back, but at least you can preserve the memory in that fashion.
Six employees of the Cockeysville, Maryland company were on the bridge when it was hit by a cargo vessel and collapsed on Tuesday.
In USA News for your health, the CDC reporting the first human case of swine flu in the U.S. this year. Doctors think a child in Pennsylvania caught the virus after being in contact with pigs. Occasionally, this infection can jump to humans. Prayers in Hebrew at the funeral service for former Senator Joe Lieberman in his hometown of Stamford, Connecticut. Lieberman, the first Jewish vice presidential candidate back in 2000, on the ticket with Al Gore, the former vice president, at the service Friday. Lieberman passing away from complications after falling. He was 82 years old. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Omaha Steaks is rewriting the book on burgers with an all-new handmade texture for the juiciest home-style burgers you've ever tasted. Their pure-ground burgers are made from single cuts of real, aged Omaha steaks. These are truly steaks on a bun. Filet mignon, ribeye, New York strip, sirloin, and even brisket burgers. Now is the time to experience the exclusive Burger Perfection Flight for just $79.99. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout to get an extra $20 off your order plus free shipping. You'll get four of each Pure Ground Burger so you can sample all the steak on a bun greatness. These burgers are crafted for a juicier, more tender experience, making your mouth water with every single bite. Don't wait. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $20 off the Burger Perfection Flight and discover your new burger obsession. Minimum order may be required.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Oh, Esther,
dear Blood River Radio family, my dear brother Sam Dixon just told me, don't worry about speaking because God will tell me what to say. The Holy Spirit will tell me. So, and that's true because I'm just right now, I'm going to say, I'm going to pass the ball to Sam. I'm going to ask, the Holy Spirit told me to go to you, Sam, and tell us all about that. Trying to be a little funny there. And tell us all about you. Sam has said the ultimate un-American thing, y'all. He says that he thinks that we would be better off under a monarchy than under this great, this glorious constitutional government that we are in. And, you know, and Paul said something that tickled the crap out of me. It's so right. Or maybe it was Sam. Maybe Sam said, I'm getting old, folks. The Constitution is great until you need it. And when you need it.
That was Sam.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah. But anyway, with that, it's true. And there's no equal protection under the law. It's just such a farce. But anyway, without me getting all one of my rabbit trails, I'll go back to you. Sam, tell us about it. That sounds un-American, Sam.
Everyone listening, we have to be un-American. And that's the one that most people, we cannot, we don't have power. We're not Mark Zuckerberg. We're not the Attorney General. His name slips my mind for the moment. We are not. We don't have this power. But we can be. We have power among ourselves to control ourselves. And well, a lot of people get upset with me. I can handle that. I don't expect everyone to agree with me. But when I hear people talk about going back to the Constitution or going back to the old America, there is no going back. There is no going back, and it really wasn't worth going back to begin with. We must think post-America. We must think in terms of a new system and a new order in America.
Amen.
We cannot go back. You know, a constitution is based on the implicit situation in which the people of the community that have become a constitution, the American people, will obey the rules. That they will not let their president or their candidate, their party, break the rules. We don't have that in America. But with people like Biden and Anderson Cooper on CNN and Mary Louise Kelly, who runs the National Public Radio's program All Things Considered, these people hate us. These people would kill us. They would happily institute the Katyn Woods massacre. They will not obey the rules. They will not afford us freedom of speech. And you know, if you elected someone, let's assume that Trump is legitimate and that he is everything our enemies say he is. If you elected a government headed by Donald Trump and people like him, his supporters in the Congress, you might go back to obeying the Constitution, but Mary Louise Kelly and Joe Biden and Mayorkas and Garland, they're not going back because they don't give a damn about the Constitution. And you can't live in a country with a colossal number of people who won't play by the rules. I tell people, it's like when I was in high school, we were the Druid Hills Red Devils, and we went and we had athletic contests, football games, against the Decatur Bulldogs. But the only way we could have a football game, with our little league of the high school kids, was if everybody agreed that they would play by the rules. And when somebody got offline or hit a player that had been tackled or something, and the umpire called a foul, you played by the rules. You just go, hey, that's my guy getting offline. Yeah, I'm for that. Let's let the whole team get offline.
Yes.
Let's kick the opposing team's quarterback in the teeth when he gets tackled. You know, you couldn't play football in high school with an opposing team that believed that. And so there's no going back to the Constitution. There's just no way. And if by some miracle we come out at the end of what's coming up and we have the baton of power, we must use tremendous coercive power of government
yes.
to deal with the people who hate us and want to commit a genocide against us.
Absolutely. So
there's nothing. Oh, well, Mary Louise Kelly, you have freedom of speech now. Oh, welcome in, Heidi Byrish of the SPLC. You're white, too. There must be none of that. There must be the settlement of accounts. That is what it's going to have to do.
Yes.
And we cannot live in a country. Not only can we not live in a country that is majority third world, like Canada has become and like we're rapidly becoming, you cannot live in a country with white people like Joe Biden. You cannot live in that kind of country.
You know, Sam, before we go to Paul, I'm going to say this. I've said on the radio and I've said to some of my people that, and you two guys will probably know what I'm getting at. What it's going to take if we white people can ever get this country back, it's going to take actions that very few men have the stomach to do. Very, very few. It's not going to be, we're not going to be able to go in there and vote our way out of this crap. We're not going to be able to write our congressman. It's going to take drastic.
There's no states' rights is going to work either. We have to have a powerful centralized government. Only a powerful centralized government can send these third world colonists and settlers.
Yes.
Traitors like Biden have brought the country. Only they can make them go home to Haiti and Mexico. And only a very powerful government can take away the private power of people like Zuckerberg. But forget the Fifth Amendment prohibition against government taking about private compensation. We're going to have to take the power away. Private power.
Amen.
And when you go back to Europe and study European history, that's the way it was done. When the Tudor dynasty defeated the Lancastrian dynasty, the Yorkists, in the Civil Wars in the 17 and 1480s, the first thing that happened was that the aristocratic families that had backed the defeated family, that defeated dynasty, they lost their estates because the new dynasty couldn't afford to let all that private power remain in the hands of the people that supported a rival to the throne. That's just the way the world works. It may not be the world the way it works in heaven, in a perfect world, but it's the world we live in. And the rules and morals are set by the lowest common denominator. This is something people don't realize, that, you know, when I was in high school, we had wrestling, we had boxing, and you'd fight with another guy in 10th grade, another 15-year-old, and you obeyed the rules. Paul, being an Englishman and living in Canada, will know that the Marquess of Queensbury, who wrote up the early rules of boxing, you didn't kick him in the groin, you didn't stomp his kidney, you didn't gouge his eye out. You know, you fought in a sort of gentleman combat. Because the guy you were fighting with is going to be eating lunch with you in the school cafeteria an hour later. But if you're walking down an alley in a big city like Chicago, and the urban youth, to use the euphemism the media uses in order to avoid any mention of race, if five or six urban youths come at you to kill you, if you obey the rules of the Marquess of Queensbury, like you did in 10th grade in boxing class, you're going to die. The rules have to go to they choose the rules. And these people that oppress us, people like Biden and these journalists, they have chosen the rules.
Yes.
And if we ever get power over them, they're entitled to be treated under the rules they chose.
Amen.
Paul, do you think extremists on that?
Something that Sam said about the hatred the elite feels toward us, I've seen that in my lifetime. In the 70s, up in Canada, we began to confront a group called the Communist Party of Canada, the Marxist-Leninists. So we used to call them the Maoists. They were they were followers of Mao before he died, and they used to have a slogan: "Fascists have no right to speak or organize." So they would try to bust up right-wing meetings.
Hey, Paul, let me cut this for a minute. Paul, we're getting some kind of really loud, like a turbine engine running or some kind of loud noise. Have you done something different with your phone?
I better cut off then.
We can hear you.
Thank you very much for having me. We can hear you fine.
It's just that loud. I just didn't know what that noise was coming from.
Okay.
I tell you what, hang on. We've got to go to a break now anyway. We'll try to solve that noise during the break, Paul. Be right back, folks. Hang on. This is our last break. Be right back.
America stands at a crossroads. This April 17th in Las Vegas, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association unveils a blueprint for hope at the Ahern Luxury Hotel. Join us alongside luminaries like General Flynn and Sheriff Richard Mack from 8:30 a.m. to 9 p.m. Discover a peaceful revolution to safeguard our constitutional republic. Seats are limited. Register now for just $49. Visit cspoa.org today. The time to act is now. cspoa.org.
Hello, friends. This is Jacob from Blood River Radio. We call the kings into account and tell the truth to shame the devil on this show every week because we are of the firm conviction that our cause cannot succeed without true revival amongst the remnant, amongst that principled minority of the dispossessed majority. Now is the time to stand and be counted, to do like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow down to the false idols of their day, even under pain of death. Like the 300 mighty men of valor who surrounded the Midianites with Gideon, or the 7,000 men that God told the prophet Elijah had not bowed their knees to Baal in a time when even calling fire down from heaven would not awaken our kinsmen from their slumber. If you are encouraged by our labors in the trenches for the kingdom and the cause of truth, liberty, and righteousness, I urge you to consider supporting this program. No donation is too small. We can do with thousands or even hundreds what our enemies and the powers and the principalities of this present darkness need tens of millions to do. So please donate today at BloodRiverRadio.com and help us take up the hedge and stand in the gap against the great evils of our time.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I tell you what, Mr. Sam Dixon was getting me fired up because, you know, some people falsely accuse me of being on the martial side, the more combative side, not quite as intellectual as I need to be. I mean, I'm always ready to kind of quote or paraphrase Dr. Hill. Dr. Hill said, I'm always ready to affix bayonets, and I think that's what it's going to take. But anyway, before we affix bayonets for the last time, folks, we're going to go back to another, a smarter person, a brainier person myself. We're going to go back to my brother, Paul Fromm, and he's going to give his take on what Sam just got through talking about. Go ahead, Paul.
The point I was making before the break was back in the early 70s, there was a group in Canada called the Communist Party of Canada, Marxist-Leninists, and they were were admirers of Mao Zedong, and we used to call them the Maoists, and they tried to break up patriotic meetings, and they broke up lectures by professors they didn't like, and they had a slogan, fascists have no right to speak or organize. Now, that was fringe back in the early 70s, but increasingly, that is the view of much of the elite of Canada and the United States. And, you know, whether you use the term fascist or racist or white supremacist or whatever, they do not believe in the case of the United States in the First Amendment, and they don't believe in Canada in our much shakier Charter of Rights and Freedoms. They basically do not believe in free speech. But instead of this being just street thugs and decided fringe, it now is seeped deeply into the ranks of the elite, the political elite, the media elite, and many corporations. You know, there's where people get fired for their views. You know, free speech is a very endangered commodity.
Well, here's something that people that needs to be stressed over and over again. You know, you have to repeat things. The power is in the repetition.
Yes.
As an old English saying said, 100 repetitions make one truth. It means the opposite, yeah. Like many proverbials say. It means that once the lie has been said 100 times, people who try to tell the truth get tired and they go on with their business and the lie becomes accepted. The power is in repetition. And here is something that people who have the ear of the public, like Eddie and you, need to emphasize, especially those who live in America. In the last debate between Trump and Biden, some journalist got off the reservation. He asked a question. Generally, the questions are all canned, and they're in these so-called debates. They aren't debates. They're just joint press conferences, and the media chooses, the journalists choose what question to ask. Well, a journalist asked Biden, if an Antifa hero who committed a crime would ever be prosecuted under the Biden administration if he won the election. Do y'all recall that? Remember that?
Yes. That kind of rings a bell there, Sam. Yes.
You can find it on the internet. Mm-hmm. And whatever you think about Joe Biden, he does have some virtues. And in this case, he had the virtue of telling the electorate exactly what he would do, telling them the truth. And he looked into that camera and he said, no Antifa will ever be prosecuted by my administration.
And you know,
now what he was saying is this gang of thugs that have attacked Trump rallies all over the country. We had 3 Trump rallies in Atlanta in 2016 that were attacked by Antifas. And no, they even beat up an 80-year-old woman. No Antifa was ever prosecuted by the justice system in Atlanta. So these people have been going for a long time attacking people. They waded into a David Irving meeting one time with lead pipes in Chicago. And Biden is saying, these are my thugs. They have a philosophy, and I like the philosophy. And so when I'm president, they're going to have 4 years spree to commit their crimes against my opponents. Now, do you think you can go back to a constitutional government under someone like that, with followers like that? If his followers really believe in the Constitution, we had a genuine electorate instead of what we've got today, there would have been an outrage. People would have, the Democratic Party would have found another nominee to have somebody running for, who's going to be the chief measure of the Republic enforcing the law, saying, I'm going to be selective and I'm going to let the left-wing thugs beat up my opponents. You think you can live in a constitutional government with a political party that stands for that, with 50% of the people like the ones I was mentioning, Mary Louise Kelly of NPR and Anderson Cooper, pimping for all of this and supporting it and embracing it? We cannot live under any form of government with people like that. You can't live with people like that. Nobody in Russia in 1917 would be able to live in a country with a big, strong Bolshevik movement that wanted to massacre. The Bolshevik movement had to be removed from Russia by anybody, any other party or system to live. But Biden, we need to remind you over and over, this is what Biden
yes.
promised, and this is what Biden has delivered. There has not been a single Antifa prosecuted by the Biden government. Here in Atlanta, we've had tremendous problems with Antifa. They've tried to burn down and destroy the police training academy. They shot a policeman. They have blown up police cars 4 times with handheld bombs on separate occasions. They have torched 8 police cars. They have done $20 million worth of damage to public property. And they have committed over 20 acts of arson. And 65 of them have been indicted. Every single indictment was at the state level. The FBI has done nothing. The Department, the Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco Agency that is supposed to prosecute bombings, they have done nothing because they like the Antifa, because that they and their president have embraced the Antifa. So he's kept his word. Let's all give a cheer for Joe Biden.
Amen. You know, Sam, and I've said this on the radio several times, and Paul, that real true law, to paraphrase George Washington, and Mao Zedong said it more eloquently. Y'all know George Washington said something like this, that he said, government, like fire, makes a dangerous servant and a cruel master. And then he went on, I guess he was naive to say, instead, he said, and so in matters of politics, speak to me not of confidence in men. Instead, let us bind them with the chains of a constitution. But I say to you people that Mao Zedong got it, told the truth more than George Washington. Mao Zedong didn't need no stinking constitution. Here's what Mao Zedong said. He said something like this. He said, political power, real political power, the only real political power comes at the end of a gun barrel. So I say to you people, that's okay with me as long as me and Paul and Sam have the damn gun barrel. How about that, Sam?
Well, I think, take it very baldly to people who probably have a difficult time accepting that. But one of the problems, the major problems from the founding of this country has been that the best element of the country has embraced what George Washington said. And they've believed in limited government, and they've believed in restraint and this kind of thing. And what that has meant is that power has only been used by the worst element of the country. And that's got to change. And the examples that I use, I think George Washington is simply wrong. There are times when you have to have massive government power. And if you don't have it, terrible things will happen. I use an example that most Americans have never heard of, and that's Russia in the 1300s. Russia had been conquered by the cruel, nasty yellow people, the Mongols, who oppressed Russia for 200 years under a brutal despotism and suppressed Russia and took it out of the European family of nations. In 1380, the Duke of Muscovy, and the founder of the future line of czars, summoned the Russian people to a war to the death against these alien racial and Asiatic oppressors. And they fought the Battle of Kulikova Field. The battle went on all day. At the end of the day, 80% of the people on either side were dead, but the white Christians emerged victorious, and Russia broke free of the yoke that had been put on it by the Mongols. That could not have been done with states' rights and limited government. Russia could only survive and break free and the church and the Christian white people be free with a figure like Dmitry Donskoy, who was the leader, who made everybody show up. You will come here, you will come armed, and you will do what I say. That's the only way they survive, and that's where we are today.
Well, Sam, you ended the show perfectly on that. I could not agree more with that, and I think anybody with one grain of common sense will agree with that. And I know Paul agrees with it. Dear Paul and Sam, thank you, brothers, so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. I know with Paul it was a short notice, and thank you for staying over for the second hour, Paul. Thank you so much, Sam. God bless y'all. I'd love to get you two guys on again soon because y'all work really well together. I didn't know how long y'all had known each other until today. So now I have a team we can bring back in the future. So thank you so much again, guys. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
And thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Blood River Radio audience. And we'll see you next week, folks. Same time, same place. Good night.